You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
We have I don't even want to call her a guest ministry because she's becoming a part of the house here. Lakita Gilmore. I first met Lakita 14, 15 years ago. She came through as a student in the School of Ministry at Christ Community Church, one of the first two classes, first year, second year? First year we did it. And she was in the New Testament survey class I taught. After about week three, I started thinking, I need to trade places with this girl because she's got a depth in the word and an anointing. And there's some people that we have come in that are like fathers to the house and then there are other people that I really feel we need to have on a regular basis because they bring an impartation that we need, that we lack in the house. So there's some gifts that are carried by some folks that we don't have on staff or resident. And Lakita carries this contagious joy for the Lord and a richness in the word. She's the real deal. I've watched her raise her kids, and she's just an amazing, to the core woman of God. And I especially love, I don't do this on purpose, but the more women we can have on this pulpit, the better. And I want to ask us to pray something, and Lakita didn't know I was going to do this, but there's a real spirit in our region. And all of you who have been here for a while, you know that we believe biblically, not to throw out some of the scriptures, but biblically, that women should teach, lead, and preach whatever they're anointed to do without being inhibited because of some scriptures that I believe we just misunderstood. And we need to put into the full context of the whole Bible. So I don't know how the body of Christ survived for 2,000 years with the women in the back seat, but welcome up front, ladies. And instead, not co-pilot, but piloting, leading, doing everything the women are called to do. And I feel like there's something that we need to do to kind of break some things in the atmosphere of our region to release women. I've got friends I know and people that won't talk to me in the area, not pastors, but some people that once they find out that we ordain women elders and we would ordain female pastors, they don't talk to me anymore. And it's this thing, we just got to really break it off. So can I ask you all to join with me? I know I'm in one accord with the saints who are part of Hillside. Let's just pray. And like as Lakita ministers today, I feel like you're sowing seed beyond this house. You're not just sowing here. And it's not just, Lakita's not here like we got some equal opportunity program. She's anointed. She could fill my shoes any day, anytime, no problem, hands down. But I feel like today, I just felt like God wanted to do something in our region. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that in the beginning, you created male and female in the image of God, and you said, be fruitful and multiply to the two of them, subdue the earth, have the rule over all the works of my hands. And we receive the women of our house, the women of this region, according to the anointing and the grace that they have received from the Father. And we pray that today, even as Lakita imparts, as you use a woman to impart the word here to this house, that you'll break something off of the atmosphere of our region, that no longer will women be told, you sit in the back and be quiet, but women will be able to open their mouths wide and minister according to the grace you've given to them. We receive them with grateful hearts, and we receive Lakita today with wide open spiritual mouths, unclogged spiritual ears. We thank you for what she's going to impart in our midst today, and we receive all of it with thankfulness that you saw fit to send her our way today to sow a word and an anointing into our house. Amen. Amen. Let's receive Lakita with a great Hillside amen.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Yay! How's everybody doing this morning? Good. I'm always excited to come. You know, when I come up that big, huge mountain, my dad and I were talking about, where's that one part where it looks like you could go off the cliff, right? It's so exciting to me. I'm like, oh my goodness, and look at that view, and it just excites me even more as I come to get closer and closer to this house. You guys rock. You're so amazing, and you have an absolute wonderful father in this house. Pastor Steve, I was one of the ones in School of Ministry that I wanted summer school. Like, I wanted more. I'm like, we need to have more assignments. And so a lot of that is because we had amazing teachers that lived the word out. And I tell you, like, Pastor Steve could act out the whole Bible if we would let him. But the word was that much a part of him. And so I love you guys. Where are the youth at? Any teenagers in the house who were with me a couple of weeks ago? Yes. I had an amazing time with some of your youth a couple of weeks ago. They were a rowdy, fun group of people. So loved it. So I have a word this morning, and Pastor Steve actually took my title. It's all hands on deck. Okay, so I need you to look at someone. I am one of those people, so just so you know, if this is your first time hearing me, I like people to preach back to me. So you can say amen, you can say yes, Lord, you can raise your hands. If you want to stand up and shout, you can do that too. But I am a big encourager, and I believe in the body of Christ that we need to encourage those that are around us. So I'm going to ask you again. Look at a person beside you and tell them it's all hands on deck. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's a warm up. So we're going to do it again. Let me see how we can do it with like gusto. Like act like you are the crew leader on a ship and you need everyone. You need the crew to come up. You got a short amount of time and you need to make sure that you get your goal done and finished. Okay. So that's the attitude that you need to have. So you need to tell them, okay, it's all hands on deck. There we go. That's right. Screaming and hollering. That's what I'm talking about. And so I wanted to talk about the importance of making sure that every single gift in this house is totally activated. And in order for that to happen, it means that every single person in this house needs to have their gifts activated. So we're going to look at a scripture text, and I'm going to share some stories with you guys. I'm going to be very transparent. Don't judge me. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I'm going to tell you some of the things that I've walked in while the Lord has been cultivating gifts in my life. Some of the good, and I'm going to talk about some of the challenges to help that. So to find out if some of you guys are in the same place that you can see that there's hope, that God loves us. He wants to overwhelm us with his presence. And that he has a purpose and a plan for every single last one of us. And when we look at Romans 12, so if you have your Bible, if you can turn there. When we look at Romans 12, Paul is sending this letter to the Roman church. And so let me give you a little context of this church. It's probably about Rome population was about 1 million. It was the center of politics and government, like the hub. It was a wealthy city. It had different economic classes. The people worshipped many gods, and there were many temples, right? So if you could kind of think about it, it's kind of like today. We got a lot going on in politics. We have different social classes. We have a whole lot of people, right? And so I wanted us to look at the picture of what was going on then. What was Paul instructing the body of Christ and how we can use that today? I do believe that the word is living and it's breathing. It is not just a historical fact book. It is not for us to just go back and say, this is a wonderful story. Oh, and this is great. No, it is our instructions. It is our manual. It is our playbook for everyday life. And when it comes down to our gifts and our talents, I believe that we need to steward them well. And Paul's going to tell us how to. So in Romans 12, I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation, and it says this, starting at the third verse. God has given me grace to speak a warning about pride. I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion and not create a false image of your importance. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as the standard of measurement, and then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. Now, if I say something that sounds like, whoa, you can say ouch, too, because that means like, ooh, ouch, okay? Verse 4, in the human body, there are many parts and organs, each with a unique function. And so it is in the body of Christ. For though we are many, we've all been mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we are vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the others. God's marvelous grace imparts to each of us varying gifts and ministries that are uniquely ours. So if God has given you the grace gift of prophecy, you must activate your gift by using the proportion of faith you have to prophesy. If your grace gift is serving, then thrive in serving others well. if you have the grace gift of teaching, then be actively teaching and training others. If you have the grace gift of encouragement, then use it often to encourage others. If you have the grace gift of giving to meet the needs of others, then may you prosper in your generosity without any fanfare. And if you have the gift of leadership, be passionate about your leadership. And if you have the gift of showing compassion, then flourish in your cheerful display of compassion. The first verse I wanted to kind of dive into in verse 3, when it says that God has given me the grace to speak a warning about pride, and I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion and not create a false image of your importance. I think in our society and culture today, the world says opposite of that scripture. Our society teaches us that the American dream is to do whatever you can so you can succeed and so your family can succeed. And so as Christians, we have to understand that we are not part of this culture of thinking. We are to be kingdom-minded. So the way that we think is different than how the world thinks. And it can be a tussle. It can be a little hard, right? You're like, well, wait a minute. This is what I'm told to do. I know in my work environment, it is really about self-promotion. It's really about what can you do. It's really about training. It's really, and that sometimes it's not always about team. And so we have to be very careful as Christians and followers of Jesus that we have a kingdom mindset and not the mindset of this world. So when it's talking about measuring yourself, it's basically saying that we need to measure ourselves against the Word of God and through our faith. We don't measure ourselves based on how we think we are. Do you know anyone who's conceited or arrogant? No one here, but maybe someone outside. Does anyone know? You guys are good. They know no one who's arrogant. Have you ever seen someone on TV that's arrogant? Right? Yeah, okay. Now we've seen some people like far, far, far away from here. And so we have to make sure that we quantify or measure ourselves correctly and measure others correctly. So you can say, well, what do you mean, Lakita? Does that mean that I need to look at myself lowly and exalt other people? No, that's not what I'm saying. Well, Lakita, does that mean that you're saying that I should think that I'm higher because I'm a Jesus follower and everyone else who doesn't follow me or follow that example is lower? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we are not supposed to inflate ourselves nor deflate ourselves. And that's the same way with other people. Sometimes when we think that we know it all, anybody ever been there? Okay, guys, let's just be honest. There have been times, thank you, sister, back there in the back, that's right, that I have felt like I knew it, right? Like I have felt like, God, you know, I think if they did it this way, okay, let me rephrase. Have you ever said, if I were them, I would? There we go. If I were in that position, I would do this, or I would have. So it's easy to judge. And I always tell people all the time, it's easy to judge somebody when you're not sitting in the seat. But when you're sitting in the hot seat, it's a little bit different. And so we have to be careful that we don't think that we know everything and we know all things. I say this all the time, that we are each part of the puzzle. We are not the puzzle. Not one person in a congregation has all or knows it all. That's why we need the body of Christ. Not one church has it all. Even the most churches that we look at, maybe we go, oh my goodness, they're thriving. But they are not all. They are one piece of what God has for the kingdom of God. And so we have to be careful that we don't inflate ourselves or deflate ourselves. We need to measure ourselves based on the Word of God. And that's how we measure other people as well. And I believe that God has given each of us the power and the capacity through faith to do what we need to do. God has given Pastor Steve everything that he needs to do what he needs to do to pastor and to father this house. The same thing, God has given you everything you need to do to reach the amount of people that you need to reach. There, and so we have to be careful that we don't look and see that the Holy Spirit, oh, gives more here and then gives less to me. He's given us the amount of power that's needed for the assignment that we have. Amen? The other thing, so we need to measure correctly, but the other thing is we need to know that our gifts are meant to complement each other and not compete with each other. Can you tell that? Who said the ouch? Yeah, right? We are meant to complement, not to compete. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says this. In the human body, there are many parts and organs, each with a unique function. And so it is the body of Christ, for though we are many, we've been mingled into one body of Christ. I honestly think God loves seeing us work together, the good and the bad. I really think he loves to watch it work. This means that we are vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the others. So remember what I talked about the world, having the world's way of thinking. Earlier in this text, it talks about not to be conformed to this world. And conformity means socially similar, molded in a certain pattern. Okay? And we're thinking about the world, the way that they think, the system, right? But to be transformed means to be remodeled and changed in nature. So that's what he's calling us to. And remember, Paul, when he is writing this letter to this church, he is talking to both Jews and Gentiles that are now together in one church, right? So you got a lot of rules, right? And you got people who've had a different way of thinking. And so when we become saved, we have to go through a process of renewing our minds. Do you guys believe that? Renew, mean full restructure. Does anyone like to watch any of the house shows, Listed, Claimless? Okay, right? So you've ever seen, or Joanna Gaines, anybody watch them? Yeah. Okay, so what is the main thing that they do? You see a house, right, and you're like, oh, they're just going to take this down. They're going to paint. No, what do they go in and do? They gut everything. And most of the time, the only thing that's standing is like some, what are those things called? Studs, right? Thank you, thank you. Some studs. Have you ever thought while watching the show, this is what I have thought many a times, why didn't they just build a whole new house? Right? Why did you use an old structure? Why did you use something that was already there? Why didn't you just get some land and just build it the way you want it? Why? And I believe the Lord is giving us a message. He's telling us that there are times when I have to gut out the old, the way that you think, the way that you've been taught. And I'm going to even say, even for those of us who've been taught or raised in the church for a long time, sometimes you get a mindset that you think is right and it's not. And the Lord is saying, I want to challenge you on that. And I will tell you, I grew up seeing God as a vindicator, as a judge, and a deliverer. I didn't really know him as this father who loves me. You know, Father God loves me. And once I came into that relationship and that revelation, I was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. So there's nothing that I can do today or not do today that would make him love me less. Amen. So if I would read the scripture for 6 hours today, okay, or if I didn't read the Bible at all today, guess what? He would love me the same. Amen. Religion would tell us opposite. Religion would say you have to do, you have to work. But a relationship with the Lord says, I love you regardless. But yeah, I love it when you read my word because it draws me closer. But he may say, you don't have to read, you know, 3 books of the Bible. How about let's just meditate on one scripture? I want you to meditate on one thing. I want you to get one thing really, really good. I want you to become closer to me. And so I believe when we're talking about our gifts and the power that God's given us for our gifts, we need to know that we need to work together in unison, even though we're different, very different gifts. So again, we have to transform the way that we think, meaning a whole different nature, putting off the old. And then God gives us his word as a tool to help us do that. I heard, I think it was Joyce Myers talks about stinking thinking. right? How do you change that? And it's only through the Word of God. It's looking at yourself. Now, remember, earlier we got to be careful with pride, because if you think you know everything, guess what? You're going to say, nothing's wrong with me, right? And it doesn't matter how many people, you ever tell somebody, you know, this one little thing you do irks me. And they're like, no, I think I'm fine. And you're like, no, it irks everybody. Like everybody, no, I think I'm fine, you know. So we have to be open. And I'm going to challenge you for this week to ask the Lord. And it's not a shameful thing. It's not that God wants to correct you and say, you're wrong here, you're wrong here, you're wrong here. It's not that. It's that God wants to say, I want you to have so much of me. I don't want you to have hindered thinking. I don't want you to have stinking thinking. I want to give you my thoughts. Can you imagine that? That God gives you his thoughts? Can you imagine, instead of going into prayer and saying, God, I need this, I need this, and oh, don't forget this and this, if you went in and said, God, what's on your mind? Wow. Imagine if we said, God, what do you want me to pray for? Whoa, that's a new concept. Because don't some of us already have our prayer list? Anybody got a prayer? I have a prayer list, right? But imagine if we took his thoughts. And the only way that we can do that is by searching out the Word of God. So I talked about a little bit about comparison. So we are not meant to compete with each other. We are meant to complement one another. And in this society, there is comparison going on a lot. Anyone on social media? Right? Okay. I see three people. So if you use Instagram, Facebook, and all the things that are out there, and here's the thing. I like social media. I think it's a great tool. I think the apostles and the disciples of Jesus would have loved to have the internet back in Jesus' day, right? And just so you guys know, if you're having problems with your devices and how much you use, anybody have any Apple devices out there? Okay, there's a new, if you got the new upgrade, you guys got to see this cool, this is not a plug, but let me tell you what this is. This will help all believers. This is what I'm going to say. It gives you a tracker of how much time you're spending on your device, right? Anybody seen it? So I looked at it, right? I'm just being transparent and honest. And I looked at it, and so it had the apps that I use. So I have the Bible app, and so it was like different things, and it had like Instagram, and it was going down the list, and then it had Bible. And Bible was like only like 20 minutes, and my social media was an hour. Guys, let me tell you, I got real humbled real quick. And I was like, Lord, this is great that this is a feature. He was like, no, I need you to see this for you. How much of time are you spending with me? If you want to be more like me, you have to spend time with me. Sorry, I didn't mean a rabbit trail, but I thought that was a good one. So comparisons. So I will tell you, when we look at each other's gifts, right, we can sometimes compare and ask God, wow, I don't have that. Anyone ever done that? Maybe you have a sibling you've compared yourself to. Anybody have a sibling? Like they were all, yeah, they're good at sports. They had great grades. You know, it's probably the firstborn. And everybody else is like, you know. So we compare ourselves. But we have to be careful in the body of Christ that we do not compare our gifts. And so I want to tell you, or envy someone else's gifts. I've had this desire for the longest time. I've wanted to sing. Guess what? I can't sing. And so I'm like, oh my goodness, what if I take classes? I could take singing classes and I could learn. And I don't have the vocal cords to sing. And this one time I was speaking at a church, and some churches, like the speaker will sing before they preach, right? So I'm like, okay, I got to get this mode. I have to do this. I asked my husband, who's an organist, help me sing the song. So we practiced. I felt like I practiced more on the singing part than actually on my word part. I'm like, okay, I got to get this right. And I remember getting up and singing, and I did okay, right? So then the next time I had to speak at another church, and I told my husband, I was like, okay, I'm going to sing this song too. He goes, no. He said, just stick to the preaching, not to the singing. And so we have to be careful that we value every gift without envying someone else's gift. So if I'm going to value the gift in you, I also need to value the gift in me. What is the gift that God's given me? Am I valuing it? Or am I discrediting it because it's not the one that I want? Or the one that doesn't seem to be flashy? So we have to be extremely careful and sensitive that we make sure that we look at our gift just as important as the person's gift next to you. Amen? There was this other time I remember I had to speak, and I was speaking a Sunday after a speaker was coming to Christ Community. It was like a renowned speaker. He was really good, and I told Pastor Dave, I was like, can we change my date on when I'm going to speak? And he was like, what? I was like, I cannot come after him the Sunday after. There's no way. People's expectations are going to be like so high, and then here's Lakita, right? And I'm telling you, Pastor Dave gave me the sweetest rebuke because he's so amazing. He's so awesome. He goes, Lakita, you have the same Holy Spirit that he has. And I go, oh, you're right. That's what you have to know. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave, the same power that raised Jesus from the grave is the same power that's living in you. That is what is activating your gift. That is what is fueling your gift. There is no little Holy Spirit. There is no, okay, this person has the big Holy Spirit and I got the little Holy Spirit. I got the short end of the deal. No, that is not what God is saying. God is saying, I've deposited something in you. For before you were even born, I created you in such a way with so many gifts, talents, and abilities to be able to expand the kingdom of God. Amen. And guess what? When your gift is not activated, there's a gap. There is a gap. I believe that. In a house, in a church, in a family, when you're not fully doing what God has created you to do, there is a deficiency. And the enemy likes that. He wants there to be a deficiency. He wants there to be a gap, because if he can do that, then he knows I can limit the expanse that they have. I can limit their credibility. I can limit their impact. But if he knows, and this is the reason why he comes after us so great, especially after our gifts, I truly believe that the area that you're most gifted and you're most talented in, where the Holy Spirit wants to use you, the enemy will come straight there. And he'll start when you're young. So I like to talk. Can you see that? So when I was young, I used to like to talk. Right, Daddy? I've talked ever since I was probably born. Just came out, probably started talking. And my teachers used to always say all the time, Lakita talks too much. Anybody ever get that? Anybody want to be a proud? Yeah, we talk too much. So then even when I became an adult, I heard that. Okay, so I'm going to be honest. Some of my first jobs, right, I would get all my work done, right? See, I think this is a good thing. I would get all my work done, and then I'm like, hey, let's talk to my neighbor. But they didn't do that. Well, that's not my fault, right? They should have planned out a little bit better. And I remember a boss telling me early on, Lakita, they're not done yet. They didn't do that. So you can't. I'm like, you know. So it was this constant thing. Or it was this thing of, Lakita, you're too bossy. Anybody ever get that one? Ladies. Any lady in here? Yeah, right? So what does that do? You know what it does? This is what it did for me. It kind of took me back some. It kind of made me think, oh, wait, I can't be who I fully am because maybe people don't like who I fully am. So then I just stepped back a little bit. I'm like, I can't be 100% me because maybe 100% me is too much, right? And guess what? It could be. But you know what? This is how he's created and made me. And so we have to be extremely careful that you don't let words from your past, you don't let words from someone who you thought you respected and you honored, and maybe they criticized you and you took that in and it became a seed. You have to be careful. What is that thing that someone has said to you that is now limiting your growth? What is that thing that you're harboring and you think, oh, I can't do this, or I can't go the extra mile because someone told you you couldn't? That's the stinking thinking we need to get rid of. Because you know why? The kingdom of God needs us to be fully activated in our gifts. Amen. So no more comparing yourselves. No more looking at someone else's gift and thinking it's better and it's bigger. Look at yourself and value the gift that God has placed in you. There's grace to be you. You can't be anyone else but you. I can't be anyone else. If I tried, it wouldn't work. And I would probably look ridiculous, right? And so, like, what if I came in here and I was very quiet? You would think something's wrong with me, right? And then I'd probably, like, fall out, be like, I need to talk, I need to scream, I need to yell. So you have to be yourself, honoring the gifts of others, but knowing that God has given you everything that you need. Here's another thing, too. Anointing is very important in your gift. Being anointed. Sometimes we can be talented to do something, but anointing gives you the power, the supernatural power to do things that you're not necessarily qualified for. I'll be honest, a couple of months ago, probably about a month or two ago, I was feeling some type of way. Anybody ever feel some type of way? You're doing good, everything's going good, and then all of a sudden, here comes some stinking thinking. And the stinking thinking told me, Keita, are you qualified to pastor? Are you qualified to teach? You don't have a divinity degree. You don't have a bachelor's degree. And then guess what I did? I entertained it, right? I like turned it up. Like the volume may have been on number 5. Then I turned it up to like 12. Okay? And I just started listening to it over and over again, right? And so I was like, okay, what am I doing? Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm not worthy. Maybe anybody ever feel that way? Or is it just me? Okay, good. So I think I probably dialed it up maybe to about 15, and then it just got louder, right? And I'm like, oh, what's going on? And I was talking to a mentor of mine, and she was like, well, it's okay to not be qualified or something. I'm like, I just couldn't change the thinking. Like, I couldn't turn the channel, that felt like, right? And then I looked at this scripture, right? And it's, you know how we look at the word and, you know, we've seen many scriptures before, but for some reason, this one made a big difference. When the author is saying, I boast in my weakness, amen. Right? And I was like, I boast in my weakness, right? I boast in my weakness. And I was like, oh my gosh, I get it. Like, I totally got it. I'm like, oh, wait. I'm supposed to say that's right. I'm not qualified, but God. It was like a huge thing. It wasn't just like, oh, you know, where I'm weak, he is strong. And sometimes we say scriptures like that. Wait, we're like it's, oh. No, you need to come correct when you're talking to scripture. And I was like, wait a minute. So I'm supposed to boast in my weakness. So I'm supposed to say, that's right. You know what? Guess what? I don't have a bachelor's degree, but God has elevated me. It's his anointing. It's his power. So whenever you feel like I'm not qualified, I don't have enough, I'm not talented, I don't have the money to do it. I mean, I believe there's people in here who want to start your own businesses, you're entrepreneurs, but you don't think you're smart enough. You don't think you're smart enough. But God says, that's when I'm so effective. That's when I'm so effective. When you say, that's right, I have all these things against me. And it's okay to say that. But then when you say, but God, with God, I can do all things. With God, I can do all things. There is nothing too impossible. There is nothing that can hinder me. Oh my gosh, I boast in my weakness. It came alive to me. So now I'm actually celebrating the things that I'm not really proficient at, because then I know it's straight up God. That's the anointing that God has on our lives. But you have to come to that realization that, okay, God, where I'm deficient, you bring power, you bring anointing. So I'm like, okay, so even with your gifts, even where you feel like, I'm not worthy, God, or you don't know what I've done before. Okay, because let's just be honest. Sometimes it may not be just about an education, or may not be about finances. It could be about our past. It could be about past decisions that we've made. It could be about past relationships that we were in that we would never tell anybody about. It could be those secret things that we believe are holding us back. But the Lord is saying, I can work through your past. I was there. I was there. He's saying, I can work through that. Don't let anything or anyone or any past situation to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. Again, when we're not fully activated, there's a gap there. Amen? So what do we need to do? We need to activate our gifts. This is good. Okay, so Romans 12 and 6 says this. God's marvelous grace imparts to each one of us varying gifts and ministries that are uniquely ours. So if God has given you the gift of grace to prophesy, you must activate your gift by using the proportion of faith you to prophesy, okay? Activate. So wait a minute. So there's something I'm supposed to do? Yes. When you get a gift, you receive it, right? But most of the time, if you're getting a child's gift and it's some toy and it's got to make a lot of noise, what do you have to do? You have to unpackage it. You have to put the batteries in, right? Then you have to use the remote control if it's a car, right? You have to use it. So the Lord is saying, I want you to activate what I've given you based on your faith. You know, sometimes we look in churches, there's a word that we've been hearing, consumers in churches. Have you ever heard of that? And I wanted to, you know, contrast a consumer versus a contributor. A consumer is a person who purchases goods and services for personal use. That's a consumer. So they receive, okay? They purchase and they just receive and receive. A contributor is a person that contributes or donates something to a cause, right? So we all have a cause. We have a goal. And our goal as the body of Christ is to advance the kingdom of God. It is to encourage. It is to reach out to the lost and to evangelize and tell them about Jesus. And so that is our goal. Imagine if we were all contributors, that there was no one around us who consumed and just received. But we received and then we poured back out. Imagine what our region would totally look like if churches all over this area decided we are all going to be contributors. We are all going to work together. Not just one church is going to be able to reach the lost, but all the churches in this area are going to be able to reach the lost. We have to activate our gifts. And let me tell you, when I said that there is a gap when we don't activate our gifts, most recently I had a foot injury. And with the foot injury, I had to go to physical therapy. And so when I was going to physical therapy, how many of you guys know you can learn a lot from people? Like, I get sermons from people just talking to me. And the guy was like, yeah, how you've been walking all your life is wrong. And I'm like, what? And he was like, yeah, like, watch how you walk, right? And he showed me. And so when I walk, my one leg was actually coming out. Like, my legs would, my foot would come out like this, right? Instead of just walking heel to toe. Anybody have ever been to foot doctor, plantar fasciitis? Anybody in here? Nobody. Oh, that's good. So anyway, he was like, heel to toe, this is how you have to walk. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And he was like, and your left hip is weaker than your right hip. I'm like, what in the world? I'm 43. Like, what's going on? And you know what he said to me, though? So he told me all these things. He looked at everything. And then he said this. He said, but we'll get you to walk right in 2 weeks. I said, so you're saying that I've been walking wrong all my life, but in 2 weeks, you can get me to walking right? And you know what he said? Yes. He says it just takes focus and dedication. And I go, that's a word, right? I'm like, oh my goodness. So sometimes we look at our situations and we think, but I've done this like forever, right? And the Lord is saying there's acceleration at this time. He's like, I'm accelerating some things. You just focus and you dedicate some time and I tell you, you will walk differently. And I was like, oh my goodness, walk differently, act differently, talk differently. That's what the Lord is calling us to. And the guy didn't beat me up over the head and say, I can't believe you've been walking like that. Who taught you how to walk like that? That's horrible. No, but he said it with encouragement and he said it with confidence. And I was like, oh my, and guys, guess what? I can walk right. I can show you after service how to walk right. I can teach everybody. I've been everywhere I go. I'm like, you're walking wrong. That's not how you're supposed to do it. Heel to toe. I'll teach you 2 weeks, dedication, focus. You'll be able to do it. But it's important that we know that when we focus on something and dedicate our time to it, that the Lord is like, my anointing, my spirit will come in and do the work. Amen. Where we are deficient, he is absolutely strong. Amen. Amen. So could you all stand with me? I would love for us to do an activation. I've been praying and saying, okay, God, what does our prayer time look like? And the Lord really said, gifts in the house are going to be activated. Gifts that have been sitting on the shelf, and maybe we've been just a little bit scared to move out on some things. To all my sisters, if you kind of felt like, well, if I say something, I'll appear to be bossy. Or somebody won't think that what I have to say is valuable. We come against that in the name of Jesus. Amen. We do. And the reason why we can come against that is because you have brothers in this house that walk alongside you. Pastor Steve is the real deal when he talks about encouraging women. And it's not to say women get more or men get more. It's about us all walking together because we're all needed. When one of us is not activated or walking in our gift, there's something missing. There's a gap. So I truly believe that the Lord wants us to rise up, brothers and sisters, whatever gift that he has. So the ones that we've put on the shelf because we're like, well, I'm not good at that. Or you tried it and then you felt discouraged and you're like, I don't know. Those that are put on the shelf, we're going to pray for those. Can the worship team come up? Are they available? And I believe, too, for new gifts. Maybe you've been discerning and you want a gift. And you're like, you know, God, I want to be able to work in this gift. Guess what? It says to earnestly seek after gifts. I'm going to tell you, when I was in the school of ministry, and I loved to teach, so we had a teaching component. Guys, I would love to prepare a message and get up and talk. But when we had the prophetic classes, it was a little different for me. And I remember thinking and saying to myself, oh, well, the prophetic stuff is for the prophetic people. Anyone ever feel that way? Like, that's for the prophetic. Oh, you guys are good. You don't feel that way. So I did, and I was like, that's for the prophetic people. This is where I was. This is years ago. And I remember we were doing an exercise, and you guys know Pastor Dave's son, Brandon Hess. Does anyone know him? Okay. So Brandon is extremely prophetic. And so we had to prophesy to each other, okay? Now, I'll tell you too, Brandon's extremely tall, and I'm very short, okay? And so he gives me a word, and we had to judge the word too. So it wasn't just that you could give a word. It was going to kind of be judged too, right? Because we're exercising. We're trying to fine-tune our gift. And he gives me a word, and it was right. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I receive it. Yes, amen, right? And so then it was my turn to pray for him and give him a prophetic word. Guys, I was trying to muster everything up. Like, I probably felt like I was from the X-Men. I think I had veins coming out of my neck. I'm like, God, give me something to say. Give me something to say. Okay? And then I said it. And Brandon goes, no, that doesn't resonate. Guys, I felt like, okay, so he's this tall. And I felt like I was getting shorter and he was getting taller. I was so embarrassed. I felt like I was weak. I felt like I didn't know what I was doing. It was horrible. That's how I felt in this short couple of minutes of time. And then Brandon said something so interesting to me. He said this, Lakita, we're at home. This is where we learn. And I'm like, immediately, like this weight just dropped off of me. That night, I went home, and this is what I said to myself. I was like, God, I want the gift to prophesy, just like that. And I didn't want it before, right? Because I was like, that's for special people. I was like, I want that. And this is the reason why I told God. I said, I want it because I want to be able to, when I preach and teach, that I have a live word that's within me. I want to be able to go speak to congregations and be able to give them a word that will be able to change the way that they're going. That's why I want it. And then guess what I did? I started seeking after it. I was praying for it. And then guess what? He gave me the ability. Then I was on the prophetic team at our church. I'm like, when I look back, right, and I'm like, wow, that wasn't a gift that I felt like I got, you know what I mean, when I was born. This is a gift that I got. But I earnestly sought after it, and God gave it to me. I believe that for the house today. So whatever gift that you're looking, you're like, I would love to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's in the scripture. It says we're supposed to earnestly seek after gifts. There's nothing wrong with that. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray for those two things. If you feel like you're in two of those categories, you're like, hey, I had this gift and I don't know how to activate it, or maybe I've been discouraged. I want you to come down because we're going to pray for you. Yeah. And for those that want a spiritual gift, and you know what it is, and you're like, hey, I do. I want that. I want to be used in such a way that it's going to be impactful to this community and to this region. I want you to come down too, and we're going to pray. Yeah. And don't be scared. Yeah. And there's one lie, too, I want to speak to. If you think that you're not worth it and that's why you're not coming down, you need to tell that lie. No, you're absolutely worth it. God says that we're all valuable to carry his gifts. Yeah. And so I'm going to ask you to posture yourself with your arms out. Like you're receiving something. You know, with Christmas time, you're like so excited. You're like, oh my goodness, I can't wait to get it. That's the expectation that I believe we should have today. Not the expectation I'm just going up to the altar, but the expectation that he's going to give me what I'm asking for. And the reason why he's going to give it to you is because your motive is pure, your heart's right, and you want to use it to advance the kingdom of God. It's not selfishness. It's saying, God, I want to be a vessel to impact my society. I want to be a vessel that will impact this house in such a way that people can't wait to get into the doors of this church. That's what he's calling us to. So as you have your hands open, your eyes closed, and I even just believe as you lift your hands up, God, we declare an activation of every single gift in this house. We declare that there is no gap because everyone is fully activated. I declare that what has hindered us before will no longer hinder us. It has no place here. I speak life over every gift that's been on a shelf. We declare a holy dusting off of those things. I heard earlier in prayer, dreams. So God, we declare new dreams and new visions. I even just declare an entrepreneurial spirit in this house to come alive in Jesus' mighty name, because it's going to advance the kingdom of God. It's going to help fund the kingdom of God. So I speak over every single person that's here as their hands are open, that they've received a gift from you, God. They receive a gift from you, God. They receive a gift from you, God. In the name of Jesus, there's nothing missing. There is absolutely nothing broken, but there's wholeness in every single gift. In the name of Jesus, I declare new gifts coming. I declare a prophetic voice for some of you who have never prophesied before, but the Lord is saying that he's going to give you the ability to see things in the heavenlies that you've never seen before. And then he's going to give you the boldness to be able to share what you see. I declare in the name of Jesus the ability to teach and to rightly divide the word of God and to be able to share it in such a way that it is compelling in the name of Jesus. I just see the gift of compassion and mercy in this house, that it is extended beyond what you've ever seen before. I see in the name of Jesus that people will be coming for your guidance and will be coming for your counsel in the name of Jesus. So I speak supernatural gifts. I come against every lie that would say you're not worthy, and the Lord declares you are worthy because of my son, Jesus Christ. So God, we declare right now in the name of Jesus, gifts received in this house. We declare no gaps. we declare all hands on deck that there's no one missing in the name of Jesus. We declare that you are a mighty moving God. So gifts released in the name of Jesus. Gifts fully activated in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So this is what I'm going to tell all you guys. Go activate. Do something with it. You know, sometimes when we talk about healing, the first thing we say is, how do you feel? You need to do something. You need to move. I'm going to ask you guys to do that with your gift, whatever God's given you, and he may still be talking to you over the next couple of days. Get a mentor in your house. Seek out your fathers, the mothers in the house, and say, this is what I think the Lord is saying. This is what I think he's asking me to do. Activate it. If it's being compassionate, go be compassionate. If it's teaching, go teach somebody. If it's prophetic, then ask the Lord, give me your words. I want your thoughts. I want your desires, because I want to be able to help change and transform people's lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Turn it back over to Pastor Blair. Oh, thank you.
Praise God. Well, Father, we receive that, not just word, but impartation, and say that every gift that was just deposited, there is room for it in this house. There is more than enough room for it in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you will bring people in front of those who just received something that will be in need of it in the days to come. I pray that there'll be a demand placed on the gift so that there'll be no opportunity for these gifts to be like a lamp under a bushel. We say in Jesus' name that every grace, everything that the Father has in store for this house will come to pass, because he's given us as a church everything that we need for life and godliness and for his call on us. We thank you for your servant, Father. We pray that you'll refresh her, restore her soul as she's poured out her heart in the midst of us today. Restore her strength. We thank you for the rich anointing that Lakita carries, and we pray that you'll supply it back to her tenfold for what you poured out in the house today. Hallelujah. Be glorified in your church, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for being a part of... Oh, good. Barb's got something.
Okay, all of you who have been praying for the gift of healing, if you feel like God's activating that in your life, Ashley needs to be anointed, and we need to pray for her for that arm to be totally healed. No more pain. The bone to be totally healed. So if you feel that you have... received that anointing today, come on up. We're going to pray for Ashley.
Anybody else in need of healing? If the Lord's flowing in that, if you got something going on in your body, wave your hand around. There's a lot more people than whoever's coming over here that can heal. All right, look for the hands up, guys, and you all know what to do. Keep your hands up till you got at least three people praying for you, okay? All right, go for it, guys. Anybody else? Oh, don't forget, Dave, turn around behind you. You got it. You had your hand up so softly over there. Can you even see it? Amen. Go for it, guys.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.